Hi, Sonia and Jonah here.
Hi, Sonia, and I'm sorry, how do you say the other name?
Jonah. Yeah, basically, like you would say Jonah, like J-O-N-A-H, same thing, but Jonah, yes.
All right, well, this is Clarence Moy with Awards Daily. I apologize for not having done that bit of research, but very nice to speak with you. Very nice to meet you.
Great meeting you.
So let's dive into it. So were you familiar with The Witcher as a property prior to getting the scoring opportunity for Netflix's series?
We were definitely familiar, however, to a certain extent, because the way we work when we start every new project, we're very careful, kind of, you know, starting it from a clean slate, mm-hmm. because otherwise, you know, go back and like do a lot of research, we feel like we're not creating something new, but rather developing on the existing material. So we were just very careful with that because we wanted to make sure that what we're doing for The Witcher is something very fresh and very original and very organic.
So given that you're doing something brand new for this, what were sort of your inspirations for the work? What were your inspirations for developing the score?
Well, first of all, I mean, the first step was, you know, the scripts, obviously, and, you know, talking with Lauren and the writers. That was the first step of inspiration. And then from there, we took a step forward. And we went out and started, you know, experimenting with instruments, got very interesting instruments from all over the world that were custom-made, some of them even for The Witcher.
Basically, as soon as we received the scripts were so unique, we were immediately like, we want to be involved with this. We wanted to be submerged into that universe. Mm-hmm. And because the universe of The Witcher is so vast and the continent is so diverse, we basically, what we did is, as Jonah said, we ordered a lot of instruments from all over the world, which were all custom made for us for this project. Some instruments came from Russia. Like, for example, we had a Joharp that came from Russia. Some instruments were made here in the United States, like hurdy-gurdy. Other instruments came from Malaysia. That was Erhu. Erhu is a Chinese two-stringed violin, so that came to us from Malaysia. And it has a beautiful sound. It basically sounds like a violin, but it has this very ethnic color to it, mm-hmm. which makes it so unique. Other instruments, for example, Berimbau, which is a Brazilian instrument, but that instrument came to us from Hungary because one of the best makers in the world, he's actually located in Hungary, which is really funny because the week that they were shooting it in Hungary in Budapest right at that moment, and we got the instrument that came from the same place, so that was very interesting. Other instruments came from China, like, for example, Hun, you spell it like X-U-N. It's like a Chinese version of ocarina. It has a very deep and very low and resonant sound. So we ordered this one. We ordered a lot of instruments. Other instruments that we used were harmoniums, harp.
A lot of woodwinds.
A lot of different woodwinds, percussion. Like all the ethnic type of woodwinds, you name it. Percussions, anything from, you know, traditional orchestral percussions, like, you know, bass drums, snare, gongs, to something very ethnic, like djembe, talking drum.
Frame drums,
yeah. Boran. There is no space in our studio anymore.
Yes. So all of this was very helping to create a very particular sound palette and sonority for The Witcher, and inspiring also.
Yeah, and it was really funny because beyond recording all the soloists and ensembles that we recorded, between the two of us, we actually calculated. We recorded 64 instruments just between the two of us.
Yeah, and, you know, for us, you know, being composers and musicians, what the most inspiring thing is to have, you know, instruments around in the studio that are like creative traps where you start going there, playing around, you're like, oh, this is cool, let's try this, or let's try this other thing, experimenting with these instruments, and you come up with very original and particular ideas. And otherwise, you wouldn't really come up.
Absolutely, and some of these instruments we use in a very traditional sense, mm-hmm. because it would be important for us to create a soundscape that would keep that kind of medieval and Renaissance vibe, but at the same time, make it very contemporary. So, you know, some instruments we use in a very traditional sense, how, you know, they would normally be played. Other instruments, we definitely, you know, went out and experimented with some, you know, soundscapes and sonorities and effects and came up with very interesting and particular things.
Yeah, I think one great example is like the hurdy-gurdy, that it's very it's a medieval instrument, and we use them like in some dances, very traditionally, how it would have been played back in those times.
Yeah, and the hurdy-gurdy as an instrument is derived from like medieval Europe, like let's say 14th century.
Right.
And, you know, traditionally it was used as an instrument to accompany dances. So we did write dances, especially, for example, for episode one, where we used the hurdy-gurdy, you know, in its most traditional manner accompanying dances.
Right.
But then, you know, we also took it for other scenes. You know, we took it, we pushed it, and, you know, we started playing around with effects, distortion, and making it sound more contemporary. So it was very inspiring for us, taking this Middle Ages instrument and apply them, make them sound more contemporary.
Like, back to hurdy-gurdy. There is a scene in episode 3 where our main character, Geralt, he fights this monster named Striga. So it's a huge, super epic battle sequence. It's like 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
So there is a moment, which is a very big music moment, when, you know, it's the final step of our battle. And the instrument that plays the main theme in this moment is a hurdy-gurdy, actually. But we put a lot of effects on it. We put plugins, we put distortion. So at that place, it sounds almost like an electric guitar solo.
But with some Middle Ages.
But, you know, with the medieval and Renaissance touch to it,
yeah,
for sure. So we experimented a lot with this on this score.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I'm talking to you both now about the score, you're both jumping in, you're finishing each other's sentences, you're talking, you know, collaborating on this conversation. So how do you work together as a team? Is it very similar?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we are sitting, yeah, the way we talk is the same way we work. So we, you know, we're sitting here almost 24/7 in the studio together. And
almost 24/7?
Well,
24/7 at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, we split who plays what instrument, because Sonia, being a concert pianist, so she's very keen in, you know, learning and playing instruments that revolve around, you know, finger dexterity, like harps.
Yeah, I played all the hurdy-gurdies, all the harps,
harmoniums. You also sing on the score.
Yeah, they made me sing.
Yes. And me coming, I play piano, but not as a concert pianist, but I also play percussion, and I have a hidden talent for woodwind, so I was doing all of that. And the way we work, we just start playing around, and we're like, oh, let's try this other way. And
basically, the way we do it, because, you know, both Joan and I come from very different backgrounds. Me growing up in Russia, I've been, you know, for my whole life exposed to this great Russian classical education.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, coming from that background, I have, you know, a very certain set of strengths. Now, Joan, coming from Switzerland, he played in different bands his whole life, like rock bands, pop bands. So at a certain point, we found that when we worked together, because we have such different backgrounds, our styles complement each other really, really well. So we don't compete, but instead we complement each other.
Yeah, it's almost like being in a band, because when we're working together, it's not like, oh, you go to your studio, I go to my studio, and, you know, when we're done, let's see what we come up with. It's like being in a band or in an orchestra. We sit there and we come up with things together. We work together in the same place. So
yeah, we fight sometimes. I usually win. But it's a very collaborative
process.
No,
it's very collaborative, yeah.
So, you know, as I'm watching the show and as I'm listening to the soundtrack, one of the things I think that will come away, that people will come away with, is the piece Geralt of Rivia, that I think is used in different ways throughout the series. It's sort of is it considered to be the theme of the show? Or I know you use it in I've heard it in different incarnations throughout the episodes that I've seen. Could you talk about writing that piece a little bit?
So you can in a way call it the main theme.
It's Geralt's theme.
It's Geralt's theme.
Yeah.
Like this show, it has so many different characters. We have our three main characters. Overall, the score is very thematic, and we have a theme for each of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So the theme you're talking about is Geralt's theme. And yes, it indeed comes in different variations, shapes, and forms throughout the whole show. We're using it pretty much for every main title sequence. However, because every episode is so different, because we have the main storyline, but then in every episode, our characters embark on a new adventure, a new journey. So because of that, we wanted to have this theme modified for every main title sequence, depending on the overall vibe and, you know, soundscape of the episode. So that was actually, interestingly, one of the first tracks that we wrote. I think it's actually the very first one.
Yeah.
Because what we did, we started working on the project like a year ago. We got involved. It's a pretty unique situation because normally as composers, you would get involved during post-production, which is a pretty much the latest step. But in this case, because there were a lot of songs and dances in the show that all had to be produced beforehand, we actually got involved even before they started shooting. So Geralt of Rivia, we wrote this track pretty much a year ago because we also wanted to write different thematic suites. For each character, like we had a theme for Geralt, we wrote a theme for Ciri, we wrote a theme for Yennefer, and we also wrote a Nilfgaard theme. So in this case, we already had our soundscape and our thematic material defined even before we started scoring to picture. And that was the first track we wrote, you know, based on our overall impressions of the script. We sent it to Laura, and Laura was like, yeah, this is our main theme. So that's kind of how it became our main theme. And, you know, then we went ahead and, you know, kind of produced it even further. I recorded all the hurdy-gurdy solos. Then both John and I sang on the track. Then, you know, we involved other ensembles to record it. Then we had violinist Lindsay Deutsch to come in and record violin. And Lindsay is a phenomenal violinist. She's a touring violinist for Yanni, who is a world musician. So Lindsay is this rock star, and she has such a kind of such a passionate tone in her violin. So rich, so energetic, and she was just perfect for this project. So she recorded all the violin solos on this track and throughout the whole score.
Yeah, and because, you know, The Witcher is very much about Geralt and his adventures also. So you can consider it as a main theme.
Yeah, you can definitely consider it as a main theme. What we wanted to achieve in this theme, we wanted to kind of have the audience embark on this journey with Geralt and with us every single time, you know.
Yeah. Hence why it's very adventurous and, you know, action-driven, you know, girls going on adventures.
Yeah. Fighting new monsters.
Yeah, and throughout the season, you know, we play with the theme and then we combine it sometimes with Yennefer's theme or we combine it with Ciri's theme. Like, for example, Ciri's theme is always played by violin or horn, and some things that we played around with it, for example, in some scenes there is Geralt and someone tells him, oh, you know, there's something more out there for you.
And Geralt doesn't know yet that this other character actually is talking about Ciri. But we as an audience, we already know that because in that particular moment in the score, you would hear a Geralt theme, but played with a violin, which is Ciri's instrument.
Right.
Or, for example, there was another scene in episode 5, which is a very interesting scene. So Geralt and Yennefer, they meet for the very, very first time, and they have this, you know, really bitter interaction. They're actually in a bus stop, and it's super bitter and, like, very tongue-in-cheek. And we have a cue that accompanies this scene. And we have an oboe, which is an instrument that usually plays Yennefer's theme throughout the whole season.
No, you mean always.
Always, yeah. So we have an oboe, which normally plays Yennefer's theme. However, in that particular moment, an oboe actually plays Geralt's theme, which makes it very interesting. Our characters just met. This is literally their very first interaction. We clearly don't like each other yet. But, you know, with the music, we have Yennefer's instrument playing Geralt's theme. In this case, we're kind of already connecting and uniting our characters, even though they don't know it yet, but we're already starting this journey with them.
Yes, correct.
And kind of, you know, setting this relationship.
Yeah.
So you use songs quite a bit through the show as well. Talk about constructing them and what thematically, you know, you'd like to capture with the songs.
Well, songs, there are two sets of songs. Four songs that were done for the character Jaskier, who's a bard.
So we have, four songs with Jaskier. There are two songs in episode 2, which are You Think You're Safe and Toss a Coin to Your Witcher. There's another song in episode 4 titled The Fishmonger's Daughter. And then there's another song in episode 6 called Her Sweet Kiss.
Yes.
And then beyond those songs, there are three other songs that we created in collaboration with Declan DeBara, who is one of the writers and producers on the show. So let's talk about Jaskier's songs first. Jaskier's songs. So Jaskier's our character. He's a bard, right? And our idea was that his character is kind of like, you know, Freddie Mercury of the continent. He's our rock star.
Mm-hmm.
So
he comes with Toss a Coin to Your Witcher.
But, yeah, he doesn't start this journey as a rock star, but you know, then he develops into this, you know, big, you know, iconic character.
Yes.
So these songs are, there are songs which are, you know, very simple, which is just with a voice, and then there are other songs which are much more produced and epic and fuller and bigger.
Like Toss
a Coin to Your Witcher. So all these songs, we wrote them last year, even before they started shooting, because they needed all the songs for the show. So we worked on each song. I think for each song we did around maybe 5-6 versions, right?
Ranging from very medieval, traditional type of songs to more contemporary. And
we send them to Lauren. Every time Lauren would go for something more contemporary. So that kind of defines the language and the style. So after we finish the songs, we send them to Joey Beatty, who is the actor who plays Jaskier. Then we work quite a lot with Joey on preparing him musically for the shoot. Then they went and shot the songs, and then we came back to them in post-production, which is where we recorded the whole orchestra and everything, and then we flew to London to record Joey. And Joey was just absolutely fantastic to work with because he has a musical background, which was just amazing, and he's very versatile. He was able to give us a lot of different takes, which were all very versatile, all very different. Like, he gave us exactly the material that we needed. So
yeah, and also two aspects of this song that are very interesting is, first of all, we don't just play the song on screen when it appears and that's it. We take, you know, the advantage...
We decided to dig further.
Yes, the advantage of writing both songs and score is that, and having the songs in advance, is that when then you start writing the score, you can take the thematic material of the songs and introduce them in the score early on. So that when the song appears, you know, unconsciously, you're already being presented with this material, and it doesn't sound that new, but you already warmed up to it.
Yes. So, for example, in the case of Toss a Coin to Your Witcher, this is the song that is the closing song of episode 2. It starts very simple with just voice and lute, and then it continues developing as this very big and epic montage sequence that takes us out of episode 2. So in the case of this song, the material of this song actually appears in the episode from way earlier. It basically appears as soon as Geralt and Jaskier meet for the very first time, and then we already have the thematic elements of this song playing in the score, and then as their relationship progresses throughout the episode, we have the song coming back. Actually, there is a big scene of Geralt and Jaskier with Filavandrel, and this scene is completely based on the material of Toss a Coin to Your Witcher playing in the score. But you don't know that it's Toss a Coin yet because you haven't heard the full song yet. But as Jonas said, you're kind of already as an audience, you're getting kind of familiar with this material. But then when Toss a Coin finally comes in at the very, very end of this episode, it sounds like something that you've already heard before, but kind of unconsciously. But because of that, it really excites you as an audience.
And not only that, also to dig further, because we also wrote source music, like when the characters go in a tavern, you know, there is someone playing fiddle, and we wrote all that fiddle music that you hear in the tavern. But, you know, it's a continent where there are bards, and those songs become famous, and Jaskier becomes really famous, and his songs become famous. So we're like, you know what? What if, you know, people in the tavern, they start covering these songs? So, you know, we made, we basically made covers of Jaskier songs for, like, Philo that you hear in the tavern.
Like, much more simplified versions of something as you would hear it in the tavern, mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's, you know, material of the songs. So in this case, Jaskier becomes this rock star of the continent, you know, and then other musicians start covering his songs.
Yeah, and we pretty much did the same thing with the song that we did with Declan, where we have that thematic material throughout actually the whole season.
Now, songs with Declan are a bit different. So songs with Jaskier were very much character songs. Songs with Declan, they don't really belong to a specific character, but they're more the type of songs that describe the overall vibe and
storytelling.
Yeah, of an episode. They're more storytelling. And those songs kind of happen spontaneously. We're not planning for those songs, but Declan, apparently, he has a background of singer-songwriter, which he did not disclose to us. So when we found out and when we heard him singing, we were like, oh my God, he has such a gorgeous voice. It has a lot of strength to it. And it's so beautiful. We knew right away that, you know, we wanted to record Declan for this score. So it just happened spontaneously. He came over to the studio one day and, you know, we just collaborated on a song and a song happened. And from there on, we were like, let's do more. So we ended up doing 3 songs. You know, we produced the whole material. We wrote the song. Declan wrote all the lyrics and performed the songs. And so the 3 songs that we have with Declan are the song in episode 1, which is called Don't Ever Come Back to Blaviken. It's the closing song of episode 1 when Geralt leaves Blaviken. Then the other song that we have is in episode 5, which is called The Last Rose of Sintra. And then the last song is the Song of the White Wolf, which is the last song of episode 8 and is also the song that was used in the very last trailer. And songs with Declan are very different from Jasper's song. But the same idea. We have the material of these songs kind of developing in the score throughout the whole season. So both score and songs are kind of influencing each other very much, and they interact with each other.
Like, for example, the Song of the White Wolf, the semantic material started getting introduced, I believe, in episode 3.
What are you talking about?
In episode 1, yeah. And it started, you know, develops throughout the whole season with our lyrics, and then finally in episode 8, you get the full version with lyrics, you know, it explode.
And you're already exposed to this material, so then when it comes in, you already know this. Something like that.
So do you guys already have the whole score set aside for Witcher the musical?
You know what? We actually did discuss that, and we actually brought it up to Laura. Like, Laura, we want to do a musical special of The Witcher.
Because, you know, when I listen to Toss a Coin to Your Witcher, it is a very theatrical song. It does sound like it could play on a stage. Just saying.
Yes. Yeah. And look, that was also done in a way on purpose because, you know, Jasker being a bard, they have to be theatrical in a way.
He's a very theatrical character. Yeah. He's a character, it's you know, how Joey acts, like, he's very theatrical. So
sure.
He's definitely asking for that.
Yes, it was.
So, last question. What are your personal favorite themes or moments, you know, through the whole score? I know it's something like picking a favorite child, but is there something that truly resonates in your mind whenever you think of The Witcher?
Speaking of a personal, you know, favorite child, we have 8 hours of music that we wrote for this season, which includes score, songs, and all the, you know, dances and stores.
You know, it's such a tricky question, especially on this project, because, like I don't want to give you the usual answer, oh, you know, it's so difficult. No, but it's truly difficult because each episode is very differently thematically. You know, they go off to their adventures, and so we had to come up with different themes. So, like, for each episode we have favorites, not just for all season, but it's more like each episode has its own gems. We're like, oh, that was really cool. Especially, you know, each episode has its climax moments, and that usually when, you know, all the thematic material that we developed that specific episode, you know, climactic too, right. And that's where we have the most amount of fun.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about the favorite cues or songs in this show in particular. Like, normally it would be easier, but just because there's so much music in it, and it's so diverse, it's not just we're talking about the score, but we're also talking about songs, we're talking about dances, we're talking about all the tavern music. It's pretty hard to pick.
Yeah, it's like, for example, it was such a treat, for example, being able to develop the Song of the White Wolf from episode 1 and have it climax it in episode 8. But at the same time, is that the same way? Well, yeah, but like, for example, for Yennefer, she's already being introduced in episode 2, and we introduce her theme, and then her theme becomes so epic in episode 8 when something happened. So we develop all this way, you know, we went through all the different shades and grades of how to develop her theme. So just the journey of developing all this material for all the characters, that was the, one of the most fun things.
Absolutely. Or, you know, writing the songs, and all these songs are so different, whether it's songs for Jasker or songs that we wrote with Declan. Also, in all the songs, we collaborated very closely with all the writers. Like on Toss a Coin, we collaborated closely with Jenny Klein, who wrote the episode. Or on episode 6, with Haley Hall, who wrote that episode. Like, it's that collaboration, which was also so important and so amazing to us. And so, yeah, like, you don't really get to do it that often on a regular TV show. And the fact that we were able to do all of that, to write such a, you know, huge spectrum of music and collaborate with so many talented and fantastic creative people, that was just so awesome.
Yeah.
So the whole score is my favorite.
But I think the whole process was really cool.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate the time. I think those are all the questions I had for you today. So congratulations on the score. It's really lovely, and it works really well in the show. So thank you so much for the time.
Awesome. Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much, Lawrence. Great. We love them.
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.